Amen. So good to see you here this morning. You know, it's hot out, and when it's hot out, I think of swimming pools. How many people like swimming, enjoy swimming? Okay, when I was younger, and also my children and grandchildren, we would play this game when we were in the pool, and I think most of you know it. So when I say the first part, you need to say the second part, okay? So here's the first part. Marco? Marco? All right, so you know what I'm talking about, right? That game where the person who's it, Marco, has to close his or her eyes, right? And he yells out Marco, and the people that you're trying to tag have to say Polo. A lot of honesty involved in that game, isn't there? On both sides, the person being the Marco can't peek, and the person who's Polo can't pretend they didn't hear and not say anything, right? And so what do you have to do? You follow that voice. Why? Because you can't see that other individual. So you yell out Marco, they say Polo, and you listen. And what do? You try to go towards the sound of that voice. And meanwhile, that person's trying to elude you, right? You know, I used to, you know, I wasn't a fast mover in the water, but I could stay underwater a long time. So if you can't hear them say Marco, you don't have to say Polo if you're under the water. So that was my escape. But eventually, you know, I would get caught. Here's the thing. I'm here to talk to you today about the voice of God. And I want to tell you that God is not like the game of Marco Polo, where you're hearing a voice, you know, and you're trying to see it, and it's being elusive. That is not the heart of God towards each and every one of us. God wants to speak, and he wants to get near to you. In other words, he's not trying to get away from you. He's not like hiding around a corner, yelling out your name, you know, and then running to hide behind another corner, hoping you'll follow him. That's not the nature and character of the Jesus I know. Jesus came to us. He gave his life on the cross so that he could do what? Have fellowship with us, connect with us, speak to us. And so I want to talk to you today about the voice of the Lord. But before we do that, we need to talk about some of the other voices that are in our lives. And there are several voices. One of those voices you grew up with, and that's your own voice, your own mind, your own soul. You know, you speak to yourself all the time. Now, if you speak out loud, they may think you're a little crazy, all right? So I suggest you do that with your inside voice. But the point is, you're talking to yourself all the time. This very morning when you woke up, some of you talked to yourself and said, should I go to church today or not? And you're kind of thinking about it on the inside, going back and forth, and you weighed out the pros and cons. You decide, hey, they got air conditioning there. It's cool. Pastor's cool. Food's great. You know, what downside is there to coming to church? I might as well go, right? And you convince yourself to come here. Thank you for being here. For those watching online, I'm glad you tuned in. You could tune into other places, yet you chose to tune into us this morning. And so the point is, you know, you got that inner voice. That's probably the one that you are most familiar with. You were born with that voice. You live with that voice all the way up until today. Now, sometimes that voice has gotten you into trouble, hasn't it? But let's talk about some of the other voices that happen in our lives. You've got the voices of your friends. People have been a part of your life maybe for generations of time. You know, people who have been talking to you since you were just a little kid all the way up until now, family members. So you have those voices that are speaking, some good, some bad. What about in school? Listen, we have a mixed group here. We got young people. We've got people 70, 80, 90 years old. How about those voices when you were in school that were the bullies? And they're long gone. You don't even know where they live now. You might not even remember their name, but you might. Do you know that for some of us, that voice is still speaking to us right now as if that person's standing there? Everyone, do you understand what I'm saying? And it's the same with our parents, with guardians in our lives, teachers. You know, people have said things. Voices have been voiced to us. They've spoken to us, and it has impacted our lives, and is still speaking now. Even though that person's maybe long gone, maybe even no longer living, that voice is still alive in our lives. And we have to choose what we're going to do with that voice. Now, obviously, you know, I'm talking kind of in a negative connotation, but what about those people in your life that spoke good things? Words of encouragement and uplifting. You know, those voices are important to us. And I encourage you to allow those voices of encouragement to be a part of your life. So you got those voices that are going on. All right, then we have a voice that none of us want or need in our life. And that's the voice of the enemy. Satan is very much alive and active today. All right? I know there are some groups of Christians that say, well, you know, Satan is a myth. No, he's not. You know, Satan wants to convince you that he's a myth, because if you think he's a myth, you don't believe he's real, then when he does things, you don't know that he's doing it. And so he is very much alive and real. You see, if there's a Jesus, there's a Satan. Because Jesus did what? Come to save us from Satan's grasp. But as believers, Satan can still talk to us. His voice can still be heard in our lives. And we have to choose whether we're going to listen to that voice. And it's hard sometimes because he masks that voice, right? Could be masked by your friend's voice. How many people here have gotten into trouble because their friends got them into that trouble? Come on now. Yeah, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate it. The rest of you, I'm not so sure about. Maybe you don't have any friends. I don't know. But the friends I had got me into trouble a lot. And the thing is, what did I do? I followed their lead. I followed their voice. And that's what Satan does. He is very good at observing you. And he sees your weaknesses. He sees maybe what you came from, the difficulties of life of your past. And he will speak to those things and try to lure you back into those things that you did before you even knew the Lord. And so I encourage you, be aware of that voice and don't listen to it anymore. But there's another voice that's more important than all of those voices. And that is the voice of God. And it's more specifically the voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you are a believer in Christ, the Bible says that Jesus then comes and lives in your heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he is speaking to you and I today on a daily basis. It's so sad that different elements of Christianity, there's different groups of people, even in churches, that don't believe that God still speaks today. You know, here's what they say. They say, God has already spoken, and we've recorded his words down in the Bible, and that's how he speaks to us today. Well, here's the reality of it. God does speak to us through his Bible and through his word. This is a foundation stone. In fact, if you hear a voice that says anything contrary to the written word of God, that is not the voice of God. But let me tell you something. God speaks above and beyond his word to confirm his word. I think of Sandra. I didn't tell this story at the first service, but I think of my wife, Sandra. You know, we used to write letters to one another when we were in school. So we were high school sweethearts. In fact, we were middle school sweethearts. That's how far we go back. And so she would write these little notes to me. And I'm not a note guy, really. But because she did that, I had to do that. So we would write these notes back and forth. And she kept all the ones I wrote to her. She kept them for years. She had them in this box and all these notes and all this ooey-gooey stuff I would write down and everything. And here's the thing, though. Those notes were cool, right? It was kind of neat, and we spoke to one another. But imagine if our entire life we just wrote notes to one another. And we never actually came together. In other words, we would write those notes back and forth, but we never actually came together. And there was never, quote, intimacy. There would be no children. There'd be no grandchildren. You see where I'm going with this? And so here's the thing. It's exactly the same for us as believers in Christ. If all we have are the love letters from God, that's not enough. God has called you and I to have intimacy with him. And I don't mean it's kind of weird kind of way, but closeness to him, relationship with him, to be able to talk with him. The reason why Sandra and I wrote notes is because we weren't in the same classes together. So while we were apart from each other, we would write those notes back and forth. And then when we came together, we would pass the notes to each other. And so it's the same for you and I. We have these love letters from Jesus. But now what he wants to do is to take that and make it real. And how does he do that? He speaks to us, and we speak back to him. You know, the word in Christendom, that it's called prayer. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God and him talking back to you. And so this is really what I want to talk about, is the voice of God in your life. See, a Christian without the voice of God is like Marco Polo. Your eyes are closed, and you're literally stumbling around in darkness. But God wants you and I to have our eyes open, and the voice of God helps us to know what direction we're to go in. All right, so what I want to do is leave you a couple of thoughts in this area. First of all, his voice you learn to follow as a believer. And this is really, really important. So go to John chapter 10. I'm reading from New King James Version. It's going to come up on the screens as well. And so his voice you learn to follow as a believer. John 10, beginning at verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So if you look at verse 2, they're going to go back to verse 2 for a moment. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep do what? Hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. As I look at this, first of all, the sheep hear his voice. We are sheep. You can go through the entire Bible. You see over and over again, we're referred to his sheep and that he is the shepherd. And so we have the ability to do what? Hear his voice. And that word actually speaks of a tone. In other words, not just hear his voice through the scriptures. Now, let me tell you something. God speaks through his word. I want to tell you, this is super critical right now. Before I leave that scripture up, because I'm going to go back to it. Listen to me. If you want to hear the voice of God, you need to be reading his word. If you don't read his word, you will have difficulty hearing the voice of God. And we're still discerning if it's the voice of God. Because here's the thing. The words of the Spirit are the words of his scriptures. If you don't have his word in your heart, then your language of the Spirit will be diminished. Because it's of the words of his word that the Spirit speaks. The reason is he never speaks contrary to his word. And so it has to be his word that comes out, brings it alive to you in your spirit. And this is so, so important. There's no shortcuts to this, church. You know, there are no cliff notes on this. You know, there are no shortcuts. Well, you know, I'll just kind of, maybe I'll just do this other thing instead. I'll read a commentary on the Bible instead. I can get through it quicker. Doesn't work that way. In fact, I highly recommend that if you haven't read the entire word for yourself, to not even look at a commentary. Because the commentaries, as good as they might be, is going to direct you and influence you in a way that maybe isn't what God's voice is wanting to say to you. And so what you do is you digest the word for itself. And then if you choose at a later date to dig into some commentaries, some good ones, have at it. But do not parallel the word of God to any commentary. Because here's what you've done then. You're equaling the voice of God through his word to the voice of man. You don't want to do that. We want to hear the word for what it is. So back to the scripture. It says the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. You notice it says leads them. I came from a farm where my father actually owned some sheep. He usually had between 20 and 30 sheep. And he just always had them. I don't know why. You know, to me they were a pain in the butt. We had to deal with them and everything. But he just loved his sheep. And I remember as a little kid he would want me to help. And he'd say, go bring the sheep in. So as a little kid, what do? You go running behind them and you're trying to chase them. And sheep just go like this. They just scatter everywhere. And my dad would laugh his head off. He thought that was the funniest thing to see me trying to bring the sheep in. And all he would do, he had this can that was an old antifreeze can. And somebody mentioned this after, did my dad try to kill the sheep? No, he didn't. It was a clean antifreeze can, all right? In the old days, you could get them in metal cans and he opened the lid. Used the antifreeze, washed it out really good, and put grain in it. So what he would do, he would just have some grain in it, and he would tap the side of the barn, just on the stone. The sheep would hear that noise, and no matter where they were, they would go, poof, and it would just come around him. And he could go anywhere, and they would follow him wherever he went. As long as he had that can, you know, they didn't know there was antifreeze in it before, but all they knew it was food, and it was good for them, and they liked it. They would follow him wherever he went. He led them. You see, God is not going to drive you anywhere. God is not going to force you to go somewhere. He doesn't work that way. He leads you. If you ever look at anyone with sheep, they never put nooses on them or leashes or anything like that because the sheep learn to know the voice of the master. And it's the same for you and I. We have to begin to learn the voice of the master. And here that scripture says that he leads us. You know what I love about that? That means he's out in front, that wherever he's taking us, he's already been there. Isn't that a good thing to know? It's not like he's saying, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Let's just go down this road and see what's up here. No, he's already been ahead because he's led the way, made a way where there what seemeth to be no way, so that you and I as sheep could follow him. And that's the heart of our Lord. He wants to lead you, but you have to choose to follow him. And that is difficult. But as you get to know his voice and begin to hear him more clearly, then what happens is it's easier to follow him. Now, I want you to see that very ending part of the scripture, verse 5, and they'll put it up again. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. You would think that the idea from just reading it like that, you think, okay, anytime there's a stranger's voice, it's like, nope, I'm not going to do that. In the original language, it actually says this. Let's just read this. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger any longer. That's literally in the original language is better understood that way. Meaning that in the past, you and I followed all kinds of voices. Because there's all kinds of voices in our lives. And we couldn't discern which voice was the right one to follow. We just followed our emotions, our feelings, our instincts. We've even followed. Let me give you an example right now. At this very moment, Anthony is cooking pancakes out there. There's bacon on the griddle. It doesn't get any better. And that smell is wafting through the building right now. Some of you were like, your stomach just started growling. You didn't know that there was a voice speaking to you from down there. But there's a voice saying, hey, I'm smelling it. Man, I'm hungry. You know, what am I going to do for lunch? You know, what is that? That's a voice. Right now, at this very moment, I'm a voice speaking to you right now. For some of you, you're suffering from cell phone separation anxiety. You know, you're sitting there, and there's a voice somewhere saying, you should check, see what's going on online. Check Facebook. Yeah. And you're being, some of you maybe fell into that temptation. I didn't see you. But you understand what I'm saying. There's voices all around. You're being inundated, even as you're sitting right here. There's other voices saying, what are you going to do this afternoon? Oh, I'm going to go do this. And you're thinking about activities, maybe swimming. I brought out swimming earlier, so you went on a little rabbit chase with that. Who's got a pool? Who can I call that's got a pool so I can go swimming? You see what I'm saying? Your voices are just pushing, pushing, pushing. And you and I have to make a decision to push all that aside to listen to one voice above all voices. And who's that? It's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Just as I shared the story about that can of grain that my father had, he has good things for you. David, I think in Psalms 23, had this in mind. You know, he said this, the first opening line, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Now, that's all sheep language, isn't it? It's all sheep language. David was a shepherd in his younger days, and he understood that his father, the Lord, wanted to guide him and direct him. And he actually gives the reason why. To restore his soul. Wow. You know, most of the time, many of us, including myself, we live and minister out of brokenness instead of out of wholeness. Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to love as if you've never been hurt before? But what happens is, in the area of love, most of us in some way, we've been broken, we've been hurt. And so we're guarded in how we love others. What about even in the area of compassion and helping those in need? Somewhere in the past, maybe we reached out and we got bit, so to speak. We got hurt. And we're like, whoa, I'm not going to let that happen to me again. And so we tend to hold back. And here's the thing. As God leads us by his voice, he wants to bring restoration into our lives. So we truly can love as if we've never been hurt. That we can exhibit compassion as though we've never been hurt. So that we can minister out of a wholeness and completeness rather than out of the brokenness that most of us minister out of. And let me tell you something, that's a journey. You know, I wish that you could have like that one-time encounter and instantly all that's changed. But as you hear his voice in one area and you're obedient to it and God brings restoration in that's a good thing, right? How many people agree? It's a good thing. But then there's more. Don't think, oh, well, that's it, I'm fixed. No, there's another area and another area and another area. And he will lead you to those areas that need restoration and bring wholeness to your life so that not only do you feel satisfied, now you can bring that wholeness of heart to the world around you, to your families, to your community, to your church, to wherever you go. That's the heart of God. So not only is his voice to bring restoration to us, but now we can be a voice for him to bring restoration to those around us, to say there's hope. You know, we have Matthew who was touched by the Lord last night. Well, what's happened, here he is now, he's sharing about that very fact, that a wholeness part, something's been made whole in his life. He's been changed. Well, what is he beginning to do? Being a voice for Jesus to the world around. And that's what God's called us. You see, you can't give out what you don't have. And so it's so important for you and I to allow that wholeness to happen. And that can only happen as we follow the voice of the Lord. And it's not natural. Because often God will ask us to do something that in the natural is like, no, I'm not doing that. How many people have done that? I've been there. God's spoken to me and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. No way. And yet, when I've obeyed, God has blessed me every single time. And he'll do the same for you as well. And so his voice, you learn to follow as a believer. It's not automatic. You learn to know the shepherd's voice. You learn to know the voice of Jesus. It wasn't something you were born with. It's not like your voice. And you need to understand that the voice of the Spirit is different from your voice. In fact, normally almost opposite. Because your voice wants to do what you want to do, what feels good. What the voice of God wants to do is to bring you to restoration and wholeness. And often that means changes in your life. And I don't know about you, I don't like to change. I'm kind of setting my way. Anybody else here setting your ways kind of? Yeah, you know, we just got, hey, don't point at your wife or your husband. Come on. That's not fair. I'm talking to you. Don't blame anybody else for your problems, all right? And so the point is that we have to come to a place of accepting that change is part of following the voice of the Lord. Okay, let's move on. His voice will guide you to his promises and your inheritance. Psalms 95, verse 6 says this. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. There you go, all that sheep stuff again. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. So just look at this just for a minute. First of all, I need to give you context. This scripture is actually talking and referring to when the children of Israel had left Egypt and they were heading to the promised land. They could have got there in 40 days, but because of their sin and rebellion, their disobedience to the voice of God, they end up being in the wilderness for 40 years. But 40 days, 40 years. Which one should we pick? Let's do the 40-day one, right? 40 years is too long. And so here, you look in at the beginning, it says, oh, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This right here is the ingredients to following the voice of God. You need to acknowledge that God is the King of kings and Lord of lords. See, we got all kinds of voices in our life, but here's the problem. We assign different values to them. In other words, our voice is maybe like an 8 on the scale of listening to. God's voice, maybe 5 because I don't always like what he has to say. You get what I'm saying? You know, my best friend, he or she, they're a 10 because they always want to do stuff I want to do. You see what? And so we assign all of this, and yet this scripture says this, bow to the one voice. Bow to the voice of God. In other words, he is the master voice over you. And that's how it begins to fix your life. You got to do that. And then he goes on, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Again, he wants to what? Lead us to green pastures. He wants to bless us, the sheep of his hand. And then look at this. Today, if you will hear his voice. It doesn't say today if you hear his voice. It says today if you will hear his voice. You know what that means? It means he's talking. But are you listening? That's literally what it's saying. And again, it's just a couple words to make it the difference of that. It's not saying God might speak to you. He could speak to you. No, it's saying he does speak to you. So if you will hear his voice, in other words, you'll heed his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And that's what the children of Israel did. And that's why they couldn't have the promises that God had for them. Instead of 40 days, 40 years, and missed out on all that God had. Here's the thing. God is speaking to you at this very moment in time. Right now. But if he's been talking about that area for a long time, after a while, you'll just shut him out. You're like this, I don't hear you anymore. And you, literally, though he's speaking, you're just not listening anymore. And that's what it's talking about with hardening your heart. Do not harden your heart, because it's his voice and his voice alone that will bless you. His voice will bring peace and direction in the midst of the storm of life. Now, I could give you 50 or 60 scriptures that talk about that. But I crossed paths with an amazing testimony online that I think will speak far better than I can. There's a man by the name of David Gibbs. He's actually a Christian lawyer, and he deals with litigation in churches. So he's all over the country doing this. And he was up in Alaska doing a case, and he talks about flying home. Now, when you listen to the story, he's not going to give a lot of details about what happened, but more the spiritual part of what came out of it. So I encourage you to listen to this. It's going to touch your hearts. So go ahead and run that.
was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, "Listen, I can save you money." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket." And this did not sound, I said, "Gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket, we'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me." He said, no, you gotta do it, you gotta do it." And against every better judgment I had, I said, "Okay." Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it, we got in. He's on the left front, I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, "Should we pray?" He said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't." I said, "Well, this time we're gonna." And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, "We're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out." I said, "Clouds make you do what?" Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling. And he passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, "Come on, you gotta wake up so I can kill you." Now we were in the clouds flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, "We're dead, aren't we?" I said, "There's a very good chance of that, yes." He said, "What are we gonna do?" I said, "I don't know." But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, "Start asking for help." So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, "Hello, hello." We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, "Hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette?" And I said, "Give it to me." I said, "Tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane." The guy said, "I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo." And he said, "You're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you?" I said, "Tell them that's correct." Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, "The first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore." And he said, "I'm gonna get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life." After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, "We understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane." We said, "That's right." They said, "Well, the first thing we gotta do is find you." And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, "My job is to get you home safe." He said, "That's my job." But he said, "Here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you gotta promise me you'll obey my voice." He said, "You can't see me, but I can see you." And he said, "If you're not gonna obey my voice, you're gonna die." When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, "Okay, I found you. Now hear me clear." He said, "You're 4 minutes from a mountain." He said, "You're gonna crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice." I never said, "I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable?" You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned and he said, "I'm freezing all the traffic in the area." He said, "It's gonna take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride." And he said, "I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice." He said, "If you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it." Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s started talking to us. They said, "We're praying for you, men. You're gonna make it." But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, the knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me.
Let's stand together. What voice are you listening to? All kinds of voices. You know, David Gibbs said it well. All kinds of voices in our head. But there's one voice that needs to rise to the surface. It's one voice you need to tune into above all the other voices. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. To his voice, he'll never lead you astray. His voice will take you where you need to go. He'll take you through every single storm of life, every circumstance, every situation, anything that is ahead of you. He has already gone on ahead and knows the way through it. And if you are one of his sheep, then you can learn to know his voice. Father, I thank you for every single person here, those watching online. Your voice changes everything. Your voice brings us to fulfillment in our lives. Your voice takes us to places of safety. Your voice gives us peace in the midst of the storms of life that will come. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that your hand would just be upon each person, just speaking to them at this very moment. Just with every head bowed, just for a moment, let me ask you this question. And you can raise your hand if you say yes to this. Do you want to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly? Just put your hand up. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Father, you saw all the hands raised all through the sanctuary here. And I'm sure those even at home raised their hands as well. Father, we want to hear you more clearly. And so, Lord, we submit to you. We bow the knee to you. And say your voice is more important than any other voices, even our own voice. And we pray, Lord God, that we can hear you more clearly. And that as we hear you more often, we will understand your words more clearly as well. So, Lord, I pray for safety for each one of the sheep that are here. And, Lord, we thank you that you are that great shepherd, the overseer of our souls. And that you will guide us and direct us as we call upon you. So, Lord, let us hear your voice clearly, that you will guide us and direct us in a much more deeper and meaningful way from this point forward. I thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you today. Listen to the voice, his voice.